America Live, brought to you from the Eternal Word Television Studios in Birmingham, Alabama.
To praise God in His kingdom.
Moved by the Spirit.
One who lives in love lives in God. And God lives in him.
What a wonderful thing is our church. This whole network is built on trust. The essence of evangelization is to tell everybody Jesus loves you. We are all called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, we have wonderful family here today from the great state of Louisiana and from everywhere else. We need to get into radio everywhere, whether it's shortwave, AM and FM. We need to get in more cable system. We need to get on more dishes. Internet. Why? Because I'm convinced, more convinced every day, that people are in great need of God. We know something about God, but we don't know God. You say, well, can it be the same? Oh, yeah. You have a lot of associates. You have a lot of people you met once, huh? Eating in a hotel or a restaurant, and you never see them again. Well, they're acquaintances, see? We all have a lot of acquaintances, but we don't know acquaintances. You know them a little bit if you sat down and talked to them a little bit. But you don't know an acquaintance. Now, if you have a good friend, you know something about that friend. You know what they like, what they don't like. You know their faults. You know they have hot tempers, they're impatient. We know some of the things we don't want to see. So that's a friend. Then once in a lifetime, Scripture says, if you find a friend that accepts you as you are, yeah, they're a pretty good friend. But how many of those do you have, huh? I bet all your friends, see, you'd say, well, I don't know if I can tell them this or not. It's like putting it in a newspaper, you know? You might as well write it up in the ad section. So obviously, there's some things you can't tell that person. And then everybody can go just so far, you know, like politics, some friends. You can't talk about politics. Oh, they get so angry. What are you? Well, I haven't made up my mind yet. Oh, well, you gotta be Democrat or Republican. Well, maybe I'm neither one. You gotta be one. Why? So your vote counts. Well, it hasn't counted in the last 20 years, so. If I vote for them, they never make it. I don't know why. You got that trouble? The one I vote for just bombs out. So I never did figure out, you know, why I vote, because last time, you know, let's see, presidential election, I put down a write-in, Jesus. The whole community wrote in Jesus. He was the only one I know could straighten it out. So I'm not too good for figuring those things out, you know. Have you noticed how politicians all get family-oriented? Well, they put a big ad in the paper. I got three children. Good for you. Now, what does that mean? You're a good politician? See? I go to this church every week, and all of a sudden they get very religious and very pious. And they're all pro-life until. So I don't understand politicians. I don't understand diplomats at all. Diplomats. I don't understand diplomats because I'm not sure what they're saying. They say one thing, but you want to know, what did you really say? And so we all have our problems, right? That's why I've been trying to teach you the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I forgot where we were some weeks ago. I don't think any of you remember either. It's, since neither one of us remember, won't matter, will it? Huh? Where were we? Four. Where were we? Gift of knowledge? Three or four. Well, that's good. We could start at one or two. Nobody knows what I'm saying. It won't matter. I could say the same thing and you'll say, oh, isn't that good? Oh, well, I'll surprise you and give you the gift of knowledge. Knowledge. You know, that's one of the gifts that we lack today. Okay, let me tell you. Do you know yourself? So, yeah, I know myself. Nobody knows himself, you know? That's why if somebody says, why are you so impatient? You say, I'm not impatient. Oh, excuse me. Okay. Or, why are you so angry all the time? Who's angry? I'm never angry. Okay. So we don't know ourselves. We don't know ourselves. And, you know, I've told you that there's so many of these mystics, whatever, have said that the Lord would come one day and give us a warning. Say, well, what's a warning? That we would see ourselves as he sees us. Oh, that would be a shock, huh? Somebody sent me in the mail, one of our good fans, sent me a videotape. We watched it the other night. All these people who had death experiences. And they all saw this light. But what they all saw was themselves. They saw themselves. And they were surprised. Well, if you know yourself, you wouldn't be surprised, would you? This one girl was a nurse, a very, very good nurse. She had a science degree beside that, and she was not at all compassionate towards her patients, you know. It showed one man was so scared, and he had a heart attack, and she just pushed his hand down and said, I don't have time right now. And that's one of the things she saw. She said, I didn't know. Not only did she see how what she was, it was pretty bad. She could see how other people felt by all these little insults, see, or just ignoring people. I thought that was very interesting, because most of us know once in a while we did something wrong, but we don't ever walk in our neighbor's moccasins. Isn't that a nice Indian proverb or whatever? You see, it says, don't criticize until you walk in your neighbor's moccasins. And I think that's excellent. And so I don't think a lot of people know themselves. And what does it take to know yourself? Once in a while, if you're brave, get your family down and say to them, what's wrong with me? You don't even want to think about that, huh? Because they're going to tell you. They're going to tell you, and they won't lie. They'll be very sincere, and say, you're always picking your teeth. Who, me? And you got your finger in your mouth. Little things we do that aggravate other people. We did this one time, oh, years ago, and I had my Bible with me. It was less than time, and I said to the sisters, okay, what do I do aggravate you? Of course, they had to think three or four times, you know, because afraid I'd get mad at them or something. And one sister says, Mother, when you're at table and you're teaching us, you constantly do this. Can you all see what I'm doing? Yeah. Any of you do that? No, you're unusual. And I said, I do, and I was doing it. So then I went with one of the sisters somewhere in the car, and I think I was going to give a talk someplace. I had this very Bible. It's very old, falling apart. And I was doing this in the car. And she said, Mother, would you mind? I said, mind what? She said, would you mind not doing what you do with your book? And I said, oh, really? Oh, excuse me. But see, we don't know the things we do. Now, those are imperfect things and not sinful things. See, not sinful things. And I think we need to pray for the gift of knowledge, not just knowledge of our faults, but knowledge of God. Do you know God? Say, well, God is invisible. Well, I didn't ask you if he was visible. I said, do you know God? Are you friends with God? Or is he just somebody that you go to when you're in trouble or you need something? So in this gift of knowledge is a certain amount of detachment. Oh, we don't want to hear about that, do you? We're attached to everything. Little things, silly things, fountain pen, fits your finger just right. Chairs. Oh, don't sit in my chair. Why? Because it just fits me. It doesn't fit you. You're too fat. Well, if you ever said that to somebody, you're attached to what? A chair. Okay, you can be attached to God. And you can love everybody. You can love your children and love your parents and love even your enemies. But attachments take the soul out of your heart, not literally, not theologically, you don't lose your soul, but it seems like your heart is somewhere else. Scientists do that. They don't know they have a family, they don't know anything, they're so intent upon their work. And that's what happened after the war, didn't it? Women started working in factories, and then they came home, they liked the extra money, and the first thing you know, family life very slowly begins to go down the tube because we get attached to things. Every time I go to Cullman, Alabama, we pass a junkyard. I don't think they call it a junkyard. It's a place for old cars, but they're all wrecked. You know, some people got killed in them and others injured for life, but they're pretty messy, squashed. Good meditation, because some people are attached to their cars. If you wash your car every single day, I think you're attached to your car. Cars look good, a little dirty. They look like somebody's using them. They're not supposed to look like they just came out of the showroom. Well, I don't mean dirt. If you go to our place in Hansville, Alabama, you gotta wash your car because it's covered with mud. That's different. Some people, I know I went to see a friend one time, and I went up the front steps, which was a mistake, because that's where the living room was. And you visit in the basement. Nice place, it was a den. But nobody was allowed to sit on the sofas in the living room. It was like you went in a furniture store. It was perfect. Everything was spick and span, and everything was there, but nobody lived in it. The house was upstairs, and the home was in the basement. But that's an attachment for cleanliness. Ah, you got to be clean. I'm not saying that. But if it gets to be fanatical, then you're attached. See? You understand? We're sometimes unduly attached to our children. Why? Well, maybe you're a doctor, you want your son to be a doctor, but he don't have it up there. He just doesn't have it. You want him to be one of these people that work on bonds and stocks. What do you call those? Stockbroker. Oh, Lord save us. What a terrible job to have. I mean, all you're thinking of whether something's going up or going down. Years ago, some woman, God bless her a little heart, she gave us some Swift. Swift was a meat company. Is it still alive? Still gone? Some Swift stock. Well, I never had stock before. I thought, this is wonderful. But every morning, I'd look in the paper to see if it went up or down. We only had 25 of them. It's not like we had a big hunk of stock, you know? And if it went up, I was all excited. If it went down, I was, oh, that's terrible. I just lost $50. And I said, Lord. I said, and then it dawned on me, Angelica, what are you, some kind of nut? Because I'm not supposed to have stock. I'm not supposed to worry about things like that. See, I was getting attached to 25 shares. That's pretty bad, 25 shares. It wasn't that much anyway. I was grateful for them. But everything is good. Everything is good. Stocks, bonds, shares, money in a bag, your children, your loved ones, your car, your favorite chair. If that's all we think about. See, I have to use God's gifts. I have to use them and be grateful for them. But I can't be so attached. I can't live without them. And I know you can prove that when someone you love dies. What do you do when someone you love dies? Are you willing to give them up, or do you get angry with God? See, a lot of things in our life are, oh, friendships are wonderful. But we can't always think about that. We have to think about the Lord, doing good to my neighbor, being loving, kind, compassionate, at least trying. We don't always make it, but we try. But we cannot be so attached that I can't live without. See, that's where we are today, aren't we, huh? What would happen if all the TVs in the world had some kind of virus? I don't understand that either. It's a thing, but they all get viruses, and you want to put a jar of Vicks next to them and save it. My computer has a cold. Somebody said that to me not too long ago. It said, my computer has a virus. I said, well, why don't you try an antibiotic or something? I mean, we talk about these things like they're people. I can't do a thing with my computer. Well, then get off, get away from it. You know, maybe it can't do a thing with you either. But see, we're so attached. What would you do if all the TVs in this country suddenly shut off? What would you do? Oh, I bet you go nuts. The kids be biting their nails. You'd be getting grouchy, and let's go for a walk. Where? Anywhere. And then we got to walk back. I mean, you can't praise it. You know, you can't praise it. We're so attacked. What do you do when you get home at night? Click. You got to want to know all the terrible things that happened today. That's all you're going to get. I've thought of having a channel of good things. I don't think anybody listens. Just good things. Wonderful things. The sunrise, the sunset. Going in the woods and walking through the woods and feeling the presence of the Almighty God. Wow. But what you're watching is cars hitting each other. Today we were coming back from the farm and just sitting there at a red light, just minding our own business. I mean, what could you do just sitting and waiting for a red light, huh? Well, there's an 18-wheeler in front of us and he starts coming backwards. I said, "Sister, move back." She said, "Where?" There must have been 50 cars behind us. He just keeps coming back like there was nothing to it. Pow, he hits the front of our new car. Wasn't an expensive one anyway, but it was new. The front has a I said, "Well, we don't need to worry about any more scratches. I mean, this man did us a favor." Every time we look at it, what are we going to see? A new car? No, we're going to see that dent. Big dent. And he just took off when the light turned green like nothing happened. So sister shrugged her shoulders and said, "Oh, well, what can you do?" "Well, nothing." See, nothing. But if I was attached to that thing, I'd be thinking about it today, tomorrow, and the next day. Well, it's silly. It's all foolishness, see. So the first thing that this wonderful gift of knowledge, it's not knowledge of you or knowledge of anybody, it's knowledge of God, see? Then we got to realize the one thing necessary, and we forget that. When our dear Lord was at Martha's house, and Mary sat there listening, and I don't think our Lord was correcting Martha because she was making a meal. She invited him to a meal. I think it was all the jealousy and anger in her heart and mind that he was criticizing. And finally, she can't stand it. She said, Lord, she's mad. Her sister's sitting there nice and comfy, and she's sweating away and, you know, setting the table and all the forks and knives or whatever they use. And she's cooking, and she said, "Lord, tell my sister to help me." He said, Martha, you're concerned about many things, but only one is necessary. I don't think he was talking about food. It was her unloving thought of her sister. See, it's not so. He was grateful for her food, but that wasn't the problem. See? For example, are you jealous? Who, me? No, I'm not jealous. Why you keep looking at your neighbor's new car? Because we can't afford one. Oh, really? Well, if you can't afford one, then why are you unhappy about it? Well, we should have one like it. Uh-huh. Now what do we have? Jealousy. You know, I think that was the first sin. Now, bear me out, all you theologians, if you're listening at all. Lucifer fell in love with himself. He was beautiful, the most beautiful angel, the most intelligent of all angels, and that's a lot. And he began to look at God. And then he heard about the incarnation. That was too much. Too much. And so he became jealous of God. I will ascend to the throne of the Most High. Ooh. See, he forgot he was a creature, and he began to be jealous of the Most High. Then from jealousy came what? Anger. I will not serve. Oh. Then came pride. So what's he do? He goes around to all the angels and he begins to get associates. Are you going to take this? Are you going to stand for the Most High, the Son of the Most High, the Eternal Word, becoming a man, an animal, a half animal, half spirit? And I said, no. And well, then come with me. Well, the scripture says 1/3 fell. Why was all that? Huh? As intelligent as they were, somehow they lacked self-knowledge. See? Humility is what we're talking about here. Humility is the ability to see God in everything. It's hard. You could say, are you saying that our dear Lord is will was that that big 18-wheeler bump you? No, but he permitted it. I mean, who cares about a clunk in your front of your car? I mean, it's running. What's so important about it? We weren't hurt. So God allowed it, but he protected us, see? So there's good. And how many times, you know, we've had people say on the air, said, oh, I lost my husband, I lost my mother and my father, and I'm very angry with God. Why? Why are you angry with God? He has absolute power over you. You're a creature. He can give and he can take away. And we have to bless his name. Now that's a gift of knowledge, see? Because I can see good in everything. Is it easy? No. Nothing like that is ever easy. You say, does he take away? Oh, he allows many people. Today, you know, the enemy is so strong. And there are many terrible things happening in the world. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Things you'd never think of happen today. What's wrong? We don't know God and we don't know ourselves. If you knew yourself and I knew myself, then and I knew a little even about God, then I would be humble. Why? Because I would know I'm nothing without God. Nothing. And that's what we don't know. In this tape we listened to the other night of people who died and were sent back, there was a doctor who just was an atheist until he talked to little children who died and came back. But you could tell he still didn't believe. Isn't it strange that our poor human nature cannot believe there's a superior being? We're funny. Look at your baby picture. When you go home, get your baby picture. And now look at yourself. Isn't that a sorry sight? Not even your eyes look the same. I mean, you're totally different. Married pictures. Oh, I saw some people send me their marriage pictures. This is like 50 years ago. Well, you look at them now. Wrinkled, he can hardly walk. Looks spry on their marriage day. What happened? 50 years passed by. You don't see yourself changing. Oh, you see a few little white hair and you cover them up with them. shoe polish or whatever you use. And then, but it's still there. You know it's there. You can't hide it because it's going to peek right through your skull in about 7 days. I never saw so many blondes with black roots. But you see, I think I'm not. No, please don't tell me. Is it a sin to dye your hair? No, for some of you, it's necessary. It's not. But what I'm saying is that sometimes we get attached to wanting to look like I did when I was 16. Sweetheart, you can forget that one. You can forget it. Because it's gone. See, it's gone. And that's another thing we're not able to accept, are we? We are getting old. I'm old. 76 is not young. The scripture says you're good, you're strong. If you're 70, if you're really strong, you live to your 80. Well, what do I got left? 4 years? I would turn that page if I come across it. You know, I'm not going to read. I got 4 years. But see, we're not honest about things. See, I am old. I got one of these Golden Age magazines one day. I looked at the cover. I said, why did they send me this? At that time, I was 74. But see, it never dawned on me I was 74. I opened it up to the middle section, and guess who was there? Me. Center page. I mean, I would have appreciated a little couple inches in the back somewhere, you know. But I got center page. And I couldn't get over it. I was shocked, you know, and I looked at it, and I'm looking like this, and there I am. And it said, age is golden. Well, I think it depends on how old you are, if it's golden or not. But I thought, by golly, I made it. I didn't realize it, you see. Because we need to be honest. A lot of people will never tell you your age. I would tell them, because if you ask him, you're going to add 10 years. How old are you? Well, I don't talk about that. Well, you gave me an opportunity to talk about it. You look 80. I am not 80. I'm 64. You must have been sick all your life. Why can't we? See, if we don't know God, then we cannot be honest with ourselves. See? We can't be honest. We deny everything. And why? See, I was impressed with that little tape. Because all of these people saw themselves for the first time in their lives. One I saw a couple years ago, she died on the operating table, and she had this experience with Jesus. And he looked at her and he said, nothing but leaves. Nothing but leaves. She was the town gossip. And she bore no fruit, see? And that was her judgment, nothing but leaves. And he sent her back. Believe me, she changed. Now, if anybody in this world would have said to her, you're a town gossip, she'd have hit him on the head with a skillet, you know? She would have denied the whole thing. She would have. But, you see, I have to really admit, I need the gift knowledge. When you go to bed tonight, why don't you say to the Lord, Lord, teach me about myself so I can change. How are you going to change? You know, it's like the man who was walking one foot on the street level and the other foot on the sidewalk. He was going like this. And somebody went up to him and said, my friend, you are drunk. He said, oh, thank God, I thought it was cripple. I'm trying to figure out why I told you that. It had something to do with what I was going to say, but I forgot what it was. But we're all kind of like that, aren't we, huh? If we don't know ourselves. And you shouldn't be afraid to know yourself. You want to change. I want to be like Jesus. That should be in the heart of every Catholic, every Christian. I want to be like Jesus. Well, if you don't know what's not like Jesus in you, how are you going to be like Jesus? I mean, if you're the perfect one, then you got it made, but you don't. But I need light. You need light. You need light to know what's wrong with you. And that's what I was very impressed by these people, because they all were in the same boat. They died, they went through some kind of tunnel or whatever. But when they met God, all they saw was light. And none of them were allowed to go any further. Now in the Catholic Church, we call that purgatory. It proved purgatory because they could see beauty, and mansions and just awesome stuff, but they were stuck at the threshold because they had never really tried to be like Jesus. And although they came back, they still, I'll make a bet, live in a kind of purgatory, because when they start to be their old self, oh, it has to back up on them. So let's not be afraid of Jesus. Let's not be afraid to know ourselves. If you gossip a lot, if you've committed some pretty bad sins, if you're angry, saucy, always complaining, always griping, then you need to say, I am always griping. I need to change. And then get a pattern for yourself. Ask for the gift of knowledge. Let me see what it's going to do for you. I think it is. So I'll pass it. The gift of knowledge gives you, for example, it sees the balance between loving myself and hating my life lest I lose it. It loves my neighbor and not to become attached. See? Use the things of this world, but don't be possessed by them. Enjoy life, but not rest in it. We're on a journey. You know, I can't believe that we're nearing July. Do you feel that way? I never saw 6 months pass so fast in my life. Well, if the next 6 months passes fast, what will we do? Okay. Provide for today. That's the gift of knowledge. Teaches me to provide for today, but not undue concern for tomorrow. Have a zest for life, but a desire for heaven. See God in all things, but know. That's what we don't know today. Today, God is our little buddy. Oh, he transcends the whole creation. He transcends everything he made. He's a different being. He's God. And then admire visible beauty without losing sight of the invisible source. That's awesome. See, I need to see God in you, in the sunrise, the sunset, and somebody bumping us. We're sitting there minding our own business. I have to see God in everything. If he takes away someone you love, well, shouldn't you be happy? I don't mean jumping up and down with a dance, but sense of loss is always there. But shouldn't you rejoice that this friend or relative or mother or father has seen God face to face? Isn't that the most awesome thing in the world? See, but if we get selfish, well, if you're angry with God tonight, ask forgiveness. Say, Lord, I'm sorry I'm mad at you. I don't understand. Help me. I want to see you in everything, in everybody. Well, we have a call. Hello?
Hello.
Where are you from?
Florida.
And what is your question?
Well, Mother Angelica, I'm not mad. I'm very sad.
What's
because
wrong?
I lost my mother 2 weeks ago.
I'm sorry.
And I just miss her so much. And I don't know if I could live without her. She was really unique. She wasn't just my mother. She was my friend. I never experienced this in my whole life. Can you help me, please?
Well, it's hard, honey. It's hard. But you see, you have to see the wonderful divine will of God. Maybe Jesus wants you to consider him as your dearest friend. Huh? Why don't you go to your next Catholic church, and it doesn't matter if you're Protestant or Catholic or not, just go and sit there. He's there. And say, Lord, I find this very hard. I don't know what to do without my mother. And I think you can help that pain and sorrow. Only time does that. But you can help and keep yourself from being in despair. Maybe you depended on your mom a little bit too much, huh? You think so? And this is deep suffering. And you can offer this suffering. Don't let it waste. Give it for people who are going to have abortions, and maybe the Lord will use that suffering, that loneliness, that sense of loss, to keep someone from having an abortion, keep a priest being a priest and not leaving the priesthood, keep these children that are in satanic worship or drug abuse and just everything. So use it, don't waste it. But then you need to go to Jesus and say, Lord, I depended on my mother too much, and now I have no place to go and I don't have a friend. Will you be my friend, Jesus? Will you be my friend? And he will, he will. And you can always remember her, but you have to look at Jesus. You know, we miss people, we should. You can't go around doing a T-berry dance because your mother died. But you cannot let it possess you, okay? We're going to say Hail Mary just for you. And ask Jesus and Mary to be your friends. Hail Mary. Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We have another call. Hello?
Hello, Mother?
Yeah, where are you from?
I'm from Georgia.
And what is your question?
I have a real strong curiosity about the gift of speaking in tongues. I hear it on the other television channels when I'm flipping through, and they seem to use it real loosely, and I'm wondering how you get the gift or who gets it and why don't all of us have it?
Oh, dear. Well, St. Paul says, if you don't have somebody to interpret what you're saying, keep quiet. I think sometimes, and I'm not criticizing all the charismatics in the world, but I think we're too wrapped up. First of all, what is a charism? I have a charism. The Lord has given me the ability to speak to you, to speak on the air. I'm not afraid. I hope you like it. If you don't, you can always turn your dial, see? So I don't have any fear. Now, ordinarily, people, they stiffen up. I've had people on the Wednesday night show, one in particular, and I said, you have a very dangerous work. Yes. I said, are you afraid? No. I mean, he froze, just froze. See? So I know I have that gift, and I try to use it for you, okay? We call that a charism. A charism is a gift that God gives people for other people. It's not for you to show off. I gave a talk at a charismatic convention one time, and I heard two people talking, and one said, I got the gift of tongues, what do you got? He says, I'm working on healing, I said. That's not the right way, I don't think. A charism, even if you have the gift of teaching, is that not a charism? Some people couldn't teach. They couldn't teach anything. And very brilliant people, they say, have a hard time teaching because they understand everything quickly. They don't have patience with the rest of us dummies, you know? But it is a charism to teach. It's a charism to be a doctor and really have compassion. Don't you notice the difference? You go to a doctor, he looks at you, he diagnoses you, $50, please, out. But if you have someone says, now what's wrong? And sit down with you and listen. He says, well, I think I can help you. Now isn't that different? One has a charism, see? Now the charisms in the scripture, tongues, prophecy, and all the rest, are only for other people. They're not for you in particular. They're for other people. That's the word charism. What St. Paul says to go for the higher gifts, doesn't he? Huh? The higher gifts. Faith, hope, love, the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts that make me holy, humble, loving, compassionate. The gifts that make me like Jesus. Now you say, why don't we all have it? I don't think we all need it. If you believe in the Eucharist, especially today, and you can go in my chapel, our chapel, or anybody else's church where he's really present, and you're aware of that presence, and you can fall on your knees in worship and adoration. That is a greater gift. If the Lord wanted you to have a charism, he'd give it to you. You got all the gifts at baptism. Act and operate on a Catholic level. or your feelings will carry you out in no man's land. No man's land. And you don't know what you're saying with this gift of tongues. I think if you had a real gift, for example, one time I was invited to Paris Lamonia in France. I went to Paris and went to Paris Lamonia to give a talk. It was right after the Berlin Wall fell. And I prayed 3-4 weeks. I said, Lord, please, I don't know. There's so many languages, and I have a hard enough time with English, let alone French and German, and there was every language possible in this huge tent. And the man who invited me said, oh, don't worry, Mother, we have translators lined up, and everybody has earphones, and they will hear you in their own language. It's all great, you know, I'll do my thing and walk off. Well, that isn't what happened, and I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, could you do another Pentecost thing for me, you know? Could you make them hear me in their own language while I speak in English? I mean, I would appreciate that. Well, it didn't happen because the man said, look, my daughter's going to stand right next to you and translate in French whatever you say in English. I said, oh, great. Now I got to say sentence by sentence. I never prepare anything. I'm gonna forget what I just said. And she's going to be standing there looking at me, expecting me to say something. And I'm not, I mean, I was a nervous wreck. Well, before it was my turn, I said, Lord, you know, this is not getting easier. So could you, I mean, what is it to you to do this little thing? I mean, it, you know, I felt like the fiddler on the roof, you know, I mean, is it gonna matter if you make me a rich man? You know, I mean, is the sky gonna fall if everybody hears me in their own language? You know what he said to me? He said, Angelica, speak the language of love. Well, I was really confused, because I didn't know what he meant. So I gave a talk, and he helped me, of course, he always does. And I got a standing ovation, which I understand in Europe is an unusual thing. And then suddenly, after I was trying to eat some very cold spaghetti, the leader came to me and said, Mother, there's 150 people here from Germany, from the communist side of Germany. They would like you to pray for them. It was hot. So we found the tree, and I prayed for all 150. And I knew then what the Lord meant. Because these people were under the worst kind of tyranny. They had just been permitted to go to Paris Lamonia, and as I prayed for them, they cried and cried and cried. And then suddenly one girl came along, and she stared in space. And I said, Lord, what's wrong with her? And he said to me, she was raped. Be gentle. And so all I did was hug her. And she was so stiff and afraid. And I put her head between my hands and I began to pray. I said, Lord, make her cry. And he did. She suddenly burst into tears. And she cried and cried and cried. And her mother cried. And everybody there cried. And I wanted to cry because there was something in there just pent up, like she was in jail. And suddenly she looked at me. and I never saw such a beautiful smile. Our Lord released her of whatever was wrong with it. And so, those are the kind of things, sweetheart, you want to look at. The next time you see a child, smile. The next time an old lady comes along that has told you her organ recital 20 times, listen again. See, listen again. To me, these are more important, much more important than speaking in tongues. And I do not, I'm not opposed to any gifts of the Spirit, believe me. But I would not become over anxious. Look for the greater gifts. The kind of gift that's going to make you holy. So, he's got his fingers up here and he got five more. So, with five more I can say, I love you. And so does God. Bye now.